Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And that is to bring the meaning and the truth of the entire Bible together so that we can understand what God desires of us, what we need to do to love God and serve Him, what we need to do in the way of our lives because we need to walk in the way of the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote something very important concerning the things in what is known as the Old Testament and why it's important that we have it and why it's important that we read it and understand it, because it still applies today, especially in all of those commandments which have to do that are based on the Ten Commandments, which then you could say are direct subcategories of the Ten Commandments. Now, we will see that right here. Let's come to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this also is a very key thing in understanding that Jesus Christ was the Lord God of the Old Testament. Let's begin right here in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. Now, I do not wish you to be ignorant of this, brethren. No, God doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning things. He wants us to know. He wants us to understand. Let's read on. That our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual meat, and they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So this is why the whole notion in Christianity, that it was God the Father who was the angry God in the Old Testament, and Jesus came to deliver us from Him. Just the opposite of what the New Testament shows in the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to reveal the Father, not get rid of Him. He, Jesus, was the Lord God of the Old Testament. That's one of the first keys in understanding the Bible. Let's go on. But with many of them, God was not pleased, for their dead bodies were strewn in the wilderness. Remember this always, as we have pointed out. The wages of sin is death, and sin is the transgression of the law. Sin, in a broader definition, is lawlessness. And as we have seen, there has to be a climate of lawlessness in the society before there can be the mushrooming growth of homosexuality. That's where we are in a society today. Let's see what Paul wrote. Now, these things became examples for us, so that we might not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters. You know the second commandment? Why do Christians carry crosses and have statues of saints? Supposed Christians. They're actually counterfeit Christians, though they think they're the real thing. Very similar to what we have with our money today. We don't have money. We have a synthetic money. Pretty soon, there'll be just digital funds. Let's go on. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And that means they were committing sex orgies to the golden calf. Verse 8. Neither should we commit sexual immorality as some of them committed, and 23,000 were destroyed in one day. Very interesting phrase. It comes from porneia, which means sexual immorality against the laws of God. Now we're going to see how the Queen James Version of the Bible changes those things so that they will not be subject to homophobic interpretations. Let's go on. Neither should we tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted him and were killed by the serpents. Now those things happened instantly because God was among them in the pillar of the cloud by day and the fire by night. He was right there with them. And that's why the penalty was executed against them immediately. You can't do these things and shove your fist in the face of God and expect to get away with it. Neither should we complain against God, as some of them also complained and were killed by the destroyer. What is the homosexual community's complaint against God and His Word? Well, that God should never have forbidden homosexual relations. God was wrong. Now, as I mentioned several segments ago, go to the website of Dr. Paul Cameron, who specializes in things concerning the consequences of homosexual relations, and that will be an eye-opener for you. If you do not know, see, God's judgment against them is not as instant as this, but nevertheless, God's judgment comes. And in fact, everyone is under the judgment of God today, every single day, every single hour, every single minute. And those who are true Christians are under judgment if we love God and serve Him and keep His commandments unto life. But everyone is under judgment. That's why the Apostle Peter wrote, "Now is judgment upon the house of God." Verse 11, "Now all," that little word which means each and every one, "now all these things happened to them as examples and were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the earth are coming." Now let's see the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's pick it up where we left off on the last segment in Genesis 18. Let's see how merciful God really is, how kind and long-suffering that He actually is, and that because of the behavior of those living in Sodom and Gomorrah, God had to execute His judgment against them because they were given over to such satanic wickedness that they deserved the judgment of God. And the Bible shows that the execution of those sinners in Sodom and Gomorrah is an example to everyone from that time forward that God does not approve or condone or accept homosexual sex. It is a sin because God said, "I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come to me, and if not, I will know." So there God is going to double check and make sure that what He hears is true. Now stop and think for just a minute the power and ability of God as Creator. Go back to Genesis 4. Remember, after Cain killed Abel, God said, "Where's your brother Abel?" And Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he is." And the Lord said, "The cry of his blood out of the ground comes to me." So you see, God perceives and sees things very minutely, doesn't he? So when he says he's going down to hear the cry of it, and all the angst, and all of the depression, and all of the perversity of homosexual lifestyles, no different then than it is today. The cry of sin came to God. And the men turned their faces away from there and went toward Sodom. Now, these men were angels who were with God and appeared in the form of men. And Abraham drew near and said, "Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Because he knew that his nephew Lot and his family were living in Sodom. So he was concerned with them. So notice what he says. Verse 24, "Perhaps if there are 50 righteous within the city, will you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous who were in it? Far be it from you to act in this manner, to kill the righteous with the wicked. Far be it from you that the righteous should be as the wicked. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Yes, indeed. So God said, all right, if there are 50. Then Abraham, knowing that there probably weren't 50, he said, "Well, Lord, what if there's just 5 less, 45? How's that?" God said, all right, for 45. Then he said, "Now, please, I need to prevail upon you again." And he says, "What if there are just 40? Will you still destroy it for the 40? Said, "No, I won't destroy it." Then he said again, "Well, how about if there are 30? Will you destroy it for that?" Said, "No, I won't destroy it." Then he said again, "I'm going to speak one last time, Lord. What if there are 20? And then he said, "Oh, I got to speak just once more. What if there are only 10? So that probably included Lot and his wife and his 2 daughters and his 2 sons-in-laws with his other 2 daughters. So then that brings us to approximately 10. Said, "No, I won't do it." Now, Chapter 19, because you need to have the whole background. You can't just come into the Bible and take one verse and then take it out of the context of what is happening and take it out of the context that what they were doing was grievous sin and go ahead and modify and change a verse and reinterpret it to your own perverse values so that you can eliminate homophobic interpretations. So let's read on. Genesis 19 and verse 1. "And there came 2 angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot rose up to meet them when he saw them, and he bowed himself with his face to the ground and said, 'Behold now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and stay all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your way.' And they said, 'No, we will stay in the street,'" because they wanted to see what was taking place in Sodom, because the charge from the Lord God was this, that if the sin were as grievous as they heard, God would spare the 10 if there were 10 righteous. Let's go on. "But he," that is Lot, "urgently pressed upon them, and they turned into him and entered into his house," because he knew what it was like. He lived there. You read in 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, that Lot was vexed, frustrated every day with the behavior of those in Sodom. You know, the question comes to mind today, why didn't he move? Well, God took him out of there. He did move, but not under the circumstances of choosing to get away from evil. Continuing here now. "And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both old and young, all the people from every quarter." Now they knew that there were 2 new men who had never been there before. And if you come into Sodom, you must be initiated into their practices. And after all, since homosexuals cannot produce children, they've got to get their new clientele from the young ones growing up, or from people who have not been initiated into their abominable practices. So, that's what they thought. Verse 5, and they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came into you this night? Bring them out to us that we may know them. Now, there is that verse. May know them is language which means that we may sexually know them, which means that we may have homosexual relations with them. Now, that's why I have said that you should go to the website of Dr. Paul Cameron, and you can find out what these practices are. They are no different today than they were way back then. Now, these things in detail are not to be spoken of, but they are not to be encouraged, and they are to be condemned. Now, that we may know them. And Lot went out of the door to them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not act so wickedly. Notice their justification for explaining what those in Sodom were trying to do. We side with most Bible scholars. Interesting. We side with God. Who do you side with? Who understand the story of Sodom and Gomorrah to be about bullying strangers? In other words, homosexual acts, if it does not involve bullying, are perfectly fine. Let's go on. Strangers were not well treated nor well regarded at the time of the Bible, hence so much of the word urging the love and acceptance of others. Well, that's not exactly what the Bible says. Let's go on. We know Lot asked that the men do not know the angel visitors wickedly, in other words, brutally, which we understand to mean rape. So they were bullying. But is homosexual rape to be condemned? But homosexual activity by consent is not? Let's go on. We know from Leviticus that one is not allowed to have sex with a beast, and angels are not human. But you see, the angels appeared as men. So they said this was going to be a rape. Well, it may have been if they could have done it. But it was the act of the rape. Rapes such as this are common between men in prison. They aren't sexual acts. They are power-dominating acts. So therefore, we're going to reinterpret the verse. Because this was not just because of a homosexual act, but because it was homosexual rape. And that shouldn't be. Therefore, we change the verse to the following. Genesis 19 and verse 5. And they called unto Lot and said to him, where are the men who came into you this night? Bring them out to us, so that we may rape and humiliate them. Queen James Version, page 21. So you see what they have done. They have done what they accused others of doing. Make an interpretive translation and remove it far from the original intent of the Word of God. That's not what it says there. If homosexual acts by consent are not sin, then God would never have destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, this tells us an awful lot about the philosophy of it. And the thing is this, you cannot live in sin, be it any kind of sexual activity, or being a thief, or being a robber, or being a liar, or being an idolater, or taking the name of the Lord in vain, or being a Sabbath breaker, or dishonoring your father and mother, or coveting and taking from people, and expect the blessing of God. The judgment of God automatically comes. Sin is sin. Now you can dress it in gorgeous garments, but that doesn't change sin. And that's what it's all about. Well, you know what happened. Lot sent for his other daughters and sons-in-law, and they thought he was joking when he said, the angels of God are going to destroy the city. So the only ones who got out of there were Lot and his wife and his two daughters. And his wife disobeyed the word of the angel and turned around and looked back at Sodom as it was being destroyed. And it was a blitz, like an atomic explosion from heaven, a blitz of fiery sulfur coming down and destroying everything and everyone in Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities lying round about. And to this very day, at that section of the Dead Sea where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be, they can go there and find on the ground round balls of sulfur. And it's a high-intensity sulfur that burns very fiercely. And to this day, there is nothing that can grow at the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And that is an everlasting witness. From that time forward, down to the return of Jesus Christ, and even on into the millennium, that those kinds of behaviors are sin. And God will judge because of it. And so there is no way, no justification at all for changing Genesis 19:5 to read, bring them out to us that we may rape and humiliate them. That's not what the Hebrew says. So this is a very serious thing that we are talking about here, and it's something that needs to be covered thoroughly and completely. Now, God always honors repentance, whatever the sin may be, but it has to be true, deep repentance between each individual and God. So in our lives, what do? Do we repent to God of our sins? And God wants not just the outward part changed. He wants the inward part converted with His Holy Spirit. He wants the heart changed to loving Him and His ways and His laws and His commandments, and to follow His goodness and His truth, and to believe in the true Jesus Christ. And this is the message that God wants us to understand today in the end times. We are facing very difficult and very disastrous times that are coming. And if you don't believe it, just do a Google search of the city of Detroit today and look at the pictures, what it was and what it is. and I think you will get a preview as to what is coming to Western civilization. God is not going to be mocked. God is not going to tolerate this. God's judgment is coming. We need to be prepared. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, until next time, so long, everyone.